Well. 2024, ladies and gentlemen, we're back at it. This year, I'm going to try to commit to my podcast a little bit more frequently. But you didn't come for that. You came for some content. You came to get my opinion on 2023 Chicago Bears. You came to give you the world's greatest wild card winners. Put your bookie in a bag. Picks from Timmy G. But anyways, let me give you my initial thoughts on the Bears season. You lost to the Packers, your arch rival, both games. Both games weren't really that close. The second game, everyone wants to look at the score. I think it was 17-9. We didn't score a touchdown in that game, and we got absolutely throttled in week one. Not great. When you end any season and you end anything in life with a bad taste in your mouth, you have to sit back and take it in, right? Like, I initially just wanted to get on and blast everybody. I wanted to say, get rid of Justin Fields, get rid of Matt Eberflus, get rid of Ryan Poles if he's going to keep this guy. But then I took a couple deep breaths, and I kind of will tell you this. The one thing is sometimes you do jump the gun too quick on things, right? Emotional decisions. Had I do believe, and I hope, I don't know this certain, I would hope that the Bears were in contact in some shape or form with Jim Harbaugh's people, because that's the one coach out there that I would say would be a game changer. He's been able to develop and work with different quarterbacks, right? What I mean by that is he literally worked with Andrew Luck, obviously a pocket passer, a precision, very good, obviously on all scales from high school through college to the pros. And then he was able to, bring Colin Kaepernick to a Super Bowl, right? And was able to be very successful with him. So he was able to do that. The funniest thing about that is, that Super Bowl, if you go look at it back, there was like an hour delay because the lights went out. Just one of the weirdest things ever in the history of life. And then they end up losing the game. But anyways, I just would thought, like, if you're going to keep Justin Fields, which is probably the right decision, and I'll explain that in a couple of minutes, is why not bring Jim Harbaugh, a winner on all levels, a guy that has history with the organization. I truthfully, unless he just said, hey, I'm not going to the pros this year, and maybe he doesn't, and then you have him for next year, because then you have Eberflus, right? So you don't jump the gun. So I guess I'll just get into this. You don't jump the gun if you fire Eberflus and then you hire someone else this year, right? And then Jim Harbaugh, you hear from his people that he does want to come and, take over the Bears, or wants to be a coach of the Bears. That's a no-brainer in my eyes. But and if he's still at Michigan next year and we still have Eberflus like we're going to, and I do believe we do a David Ross to him regardless. Hey, he's only got 1 year left. We don't extend him, Eberflus. We don't extend him. Harbaugh comes available next year. We get him. If that's the case, if he doesn't go to any teams, if Harbaugh stays at Michigan, I honestly think that's a win for the Bears because we still have that option for the next year. So my opinion about them keeping Eberflus is sometimes you just don't want to jump the gun emotionally, get rid of him. The guy did a good job from a defense standpoint. We also got to take a step back and realize they literally have no good players on the defensive line outside of the trade that we made, right? We made a trade. That trade worked out phenomenal. Got the DN from Washington, and he's been great. But look, how many times are you going to see Eddie Jackson in the secondary just miss a tackle? Or just be in the wrong coverage and get smoked. Tap his chest that he made a mistake. Yeah, buddy, we all know. We're all watching the same game, Mr. Eddie Jackson. You overperformed for where we drafted you. You did do that. And we paid you handsomely. And then it just didn't work out since, whatever that may be. So Eddie Jackson, we'll never have to see him in the same. There are some good secondary options. And I'll get into that to take over Eddie Jackson. That's going to be a. Somewhere that we needed to improve regardless. But keep Eberflus. He can run the defense. The offensive coordinator, whoever they hire, they're going to have to approach them in a way that they're like, listen, you're pretty much running anything with offensive personnel. Anything from people being on the who you want to or who you're going to allow on special teams to the offense philosophy that you're going to run. Also, you're going to work with Justin Fields because we're keeping Justin Fields. I do not see, unless something crazy happens, someone reaches out to us with a top 20 pick in the first round this year for Justin Fields, I don't believe that the Bears are going to move forward. Eberflus is on a one-year contract. They're not going to rebuild this. Just like they didn't want to rebuild with him, just put two to two together. Now, the casual Bears fan might say, well, Tim, did you see in the press conference they're not committing to Justin Fields? It's like, yeah, it's the art of negotiations. If the NFL knows 100% sure that the Bears are keeping Justin Fields, the percentages greatly drop as far as if we're going to draft Caleb Williams. So we're not drafting Caleb Williams if we're going to keep Justin Fields. That would make not a lot of sense to use the number one pick instead of getting a bunch of assets to support Justin Fields and his success, especially when we have a 2-year window now before we would have to financially commit to Justin Fields. We've got his 5th-year option, and then I think he's making $6 million next year. Those are very low numbers. You could build the team around him. So the Bears have to, and they will, go out and look at all these quarterbacks, be at the pro days. You're going to hear everything that the Bears really like this guy. The Bears are leaning this way. They're not leaning any way around the quarterback. Listen, Caleb Williams has been just dragged in the dirt. Last year, when he wasn't going to the draft because he wasn't draft eligible, there was glowing things about Caleb Williams. Oh, he's the best. He won the Heisman. Oh, the guy makes every throw. He's Mr. Patrick Mahomes 2.0. I mean, this kid's unbelievable. USC goes out and has a rough year. You know why they had a rough year? They have no defense. Go look. The guy, just the same people that want to say Justin Fields only can control what Justin Fields. Well, the same thing goes for Caleb Williams. And also, there's so much talk about this guy. He wants ownership. Listen, the kid didn't say that. And if his dad said that, he must have said it after his dad is heavily involved, ladies and gentlemen. So half the stuff you hear, a source or two, I would imagine probably 15% of that, if it does have any traction, real traction, not that he wants ownership or that, it's coming from his dad, nothing with Caleb. Caleb paints his nails because his mom is a nail tech, right? That's another thing. You're going to look at Caleb Williams. He paints his nails. It's a little bit weird. True. I thought it was weird too, until I realized why he does that. He dedicates that to his mom. He brings his mom on the field with him. You know what? It's not conventional, but is anything these days? Is anything conventional in 2024? No. So I give him the benefit of the doubt. He dedicates that to his mom. People are like, oh, can you believe he said F this team? Yeah, it's got a little bit of edge. It's called competitiveness. He likes to talk a little shit. It happens. Everyone does, right? It's trash talk. It's okay when it's on the right side. It's okay when a guy, gets up and taunts at the other team after making a big play. He does the same thing. But back to Caleb Williams, you're going to hear so much negative stuff about him. What did you hear about CJ Stroud? Go look back. Go look back. Caleb's CJ Stroud. Oh, Ohio State quarterbacks. Oh, he's got this and that. I bet you 99% of the teams in the NFL wish they did they would drafted him, the Bears included, over any no anyone that had Bryce Young over him are double thinking that. Now Bryce Young, everyone to just go back now, I'm getting on a tangent, but Bryce Young is going to be more successful. Listen, he had Adam Thielen, who's like 35 years old, as his number one wide receiver. He had younger wide receivers. He had a coach get fired in the middle of the season. He had their best offensive weapon. They paid Miles Sanders as their running back, ladies and gentlemen. That guy was, he was like a 10% life on a battery. Okay. The battery was low, but you thought you were getting a fresh double A. And the Energizer Bunny just straight up was trash. Okay, that was Miles Sanders. He literally lost his job to a guy that was on the team already. So they didn't set him up for success either, right? on multiple levels. I mean, you change the offensive philosophy. The guy's a rookie. You throw him right in there with no weapons around him. I mean, times could be tough there. All right. So here's the debate. Here's what I think the Bears should do. The Bears are keeping Justin Fields. I'm telling you that, unless they're blown out of the gym with something crazy. And I don't believe that's going to happen. So Justin Fields is going to be here, I believe, a minimum of this next coming year. Depends on how he does. And the offensive coordinator that's coming in is going to have to put everything together, every offense philosophy around that supports his skill set. Okay. And the thing that drove me nuts is why Jim Harbaugh's not here, whatever reason. Because Jim Harbaugh, if you look at Colin Kaepernick, Dick, I like to call him that, he had flaws. He wasn't a pure passer. He was very athletic. He had a lot of things that he could bring to the table, right? And with that being said, he was able to mold the entire offense and every philosophy around it. So that's what I wanted for Justin Fields. Do I think he's a flaw, a flaw, flawed? Do I think he's flawed? Hell yeah. The guy cannot. He's an average passer at best right now. But the offensive line wasn't great. Everyone outside of DJ Moore was not getting open. I will say, wasn't getting open consistently. But still, I think there's people performing with less weapons, right? So you got to just put him in, in a successful area. I know all the lovers of Justin Fields and everyone want that, but look, you never even knew who the hell Nico Collins was. You might have drafted him in the 15th round of your fantasy draft. You didn't think anything of him, okay? And what you thought CJ Stroud has the same, he actually has less weapons than Justin Fields. The only thing is he has a better offensive line, and obviously they looked at his strengths and weaknesses and set the guy up for success. I don't believe that was done, at least from an outsider standpoint. Now, if you talk to Luke Getsy and he wanted to really discuss, would Luke Getsy just tell us, like, listen, I had to do the offense because the guy couldn't run half these plays. He couldn't make those throws. He was taking too long with the ball. He was taking too many sacks. He was super inconsistent. I would call plays that were open. He was just missing them. That would be something for Luke Getsy. He was in the building with him because I know that we want to take Justin Fields' side. We blame Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy did not want to play Justin Fields. And I'll tell you this. I remember where I was walking and I said, they need to put Justin Fields in. Why are we not playing him? We need to get him experience. He needs to learn. And guess what? That backfired. Probably should have sat his entire rookie year. Should have sat. I don't think he definitely wasn't ready. If he would have sat, I think the progression of him would have been a little bit different, would have been a little bit better. Also, I just want to let everyone know. We blame Nagy, but you know who the offensive coordinator was for Mr. Matt Nagy? Bill Lazor. Guess where Bill Lazor is right now, ladies and gentlemen? He's the passing offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans. People in the streets, I hate to see it. Now, you could twist it however you want. At the end of the day, Justin Fields has had smart offensive minds around him. Now, everyone around him, were they perfect at their job? No, but neither is Justin Fields. So, regardless, I know everyone's very decisive on what side they want to be. How about this? The guy's still got 2 more years as a Bear, minimum a year. Let's now go to the solution of the problem. Because listen, you cannot consistently lose to the Packers. And do I believe in my heart of hearts, with my brain, not my heart, that Jordan Love, the Packers, our nemesis, is better than Justin Fields currently in 2023 season, right now, where the progression is? Yes. You can argue about offensive line. You can't argue about offensive weapons. They just use people in the right spot. And you know what? So now I want us to come in and put the, set them up for success, because it looked like Jordan Love turned into a different player the second half of the season. They looked at his strengths and weaknesses and they adjusted. What was he good at? What was he bad at? And they adjusted that. That's what the Bears coaching needs to do. Ladies and gentlemen, this is just, you're following along. I jump around like a fish in the open sea, okay? But just follow me. Now, how do we become successful moving forward in Tim George's eyes? Timmy G. Here. Obviously, first things first, you pick up the fifth-year option on Mr. Fields. Now everyone's like, we have the number one pick, Tim. What do you mean? Caleb Williams. Why not? Caleb Williams is listed at 6'1", guys. Listed. When he goes to the combine, I bet you that guy is, depending on who measures him, that dude's 5'11". You have to understand this too. You're going to see this tomorrow. When Tua plays in the cold, in KC, if he plays tonight or tomorrow, he's not going to adjust. You can't have, I don't believe, a very small quarterback at 5'11 currently in the NFL for the Bears. You have to realize we're playing, one of the highlights of Justin Fields' career was opening day 2 years ago against the San Fran, right? When he's sliding into the water. You got to be big. One, to take hits. Two, to play in the cold weather. And I just think that Justin Fields has the right body. If he had, you know, the vision that Caleb Williams had, that would probably be different. But we got to keep the positivity about Caleb Williams. If the Bears are smart, they just talk glowing about him. They come out. Because what we need someone to get obsessed with one of these quarterbacks, either Drake May or Caleb Williams, and come up and offer us the farm like last year. Now, Tim, what does that mean? What do you mean with the farm? Well, here you go. First, here's the targets that we need to do. We need to get a center. I don't know if you guys know this. We had a lot of problems with the center. Guess who the first person that communicates with the quarterback? The center. People that I like that are going to be free agents. You got to realize the Bears, I think, have the fifth most cap space currently. Connor Williams, guess where he's at? Miami, West Coast, quick moving, pass protecting offense. Boom. Love Connor Williams. Miami, he's open. Andre James, the Raiders. This guy probably wants to get the hell out of there. Connor Williams is going to either go money or lifestyle or a little bit of both with Miami. That's going to be a problem because Miami is a successful team. The Raiders were hot garbage. The Raiders had a bunch of turmoil. Who knows where they're going? Andre James, their center, he played very well. He's the second ranked center in the free agency. He's unrestricted. Bears should look at him. Also, because we have the first and ninth pick, and obviously we're going to move the first pick, I think we're going to need to get a stud or two in the first two rounds, in my eyes, on the offensive line. There's plenty of space there. Now, Tim, we need a wide receiver, one of those. Yeah, there's a lot of depth at the wide receiver position. Go look. It's also, the Packers got three dudes that were drafted out second round and below that just dominated the entire second half of the season. One guy was fast. One guy was a possession. One guy was like a utility knife. Just look at the guys right across the border over Wisconsin. You don't have to, they don't have to be perfect at everything. Just get guys that complement each other. All right. Other thing. Talked about this earlier. Our defensive line. We literally have one dude on the defensive line. No one else on that team's a dog. When you're double teaming our best player, then we run into issues. So what the Bears need to do is, through free agency and the draft, I know there's a lot of hype about the kid from U of I, you know, being maybe the ninth pick. Do we move down a little bit in the first round? And I'm going to explain my draft philosophy, but we need to get through free agency or the draft. Now, Tim, that's good. You can just throw out there a need, right? Who's out there? Now, who I would target? Brian Burns. He plays for the Carolina Panthers. I would imagine this guy wants to run, if he hasn't, moved his stuff out of his Carolina house and got away from the Panthers. They don't have a GM. They don't have a coach. They have an amazing, crazy lunatic as an owner. Everyone wants to get away from Carolina. Brian Burns, go look him up. He's 25 years old. Now, I looked at Well, that's great, Tim. You could say we can go after the number one and number two guys in every category. That's great. Everyone could do that. But let's break down the numbers. We have a lot of cap space. Well, Brian Burns is 25 years old. He's probably going to seek a 5-year contract. I like to do this. Think outside the box. Think outside the box, Beers. Every year the salary cap goes up, right? So if you look at, for instance, let's break this down. 2 years ago, the franchise tag for a quarterback was 23 million. This year it's going to be 34 million in 2 years. So this will be the third year. That's a significant amount of money, a huge jump, right? Almost like a 30% jump. Well, guess what? The salary cap's going to continue going up. There's in talks where ESPN is going to be acquired or some sort of ownership by the NFL. Okay, more money, more revenue for the NFL. When more money comes in, more money people have to spend. So that gets me back to Brian Burns. Well, let's look at the Dodgers. Yes, I'm bringing baseball in this. They backloaded the contract to make sure, one, hey, the guy's getting his money, but they backloaded it. So I want the Bears to go in that same philosophy when they're working with any free agent moving forward. Guarantee some contracts. Go check Brian Burns everywhere. The guy's 25. We can get him from 25 to 30 years old. Guarantee the whole contract. Well, Tim, that's insane. Why? Why is it insane? Because no one's done it yet. Or back end it, right? Hey, we're going to give you the money no matter what. We're going to back end this so we could build people around you. You just sell it to them. Listen, we want to win the World Series, or we want to win the Super Bowl in the next 5 years. So you tell Brian, here's what you do. Because NFL players want their money, rightfully so. He's on a rookie contract. Give him a big bonus up front, small salary, and then years 4 and 5, give him that big chunk of money. Try to offset that. I'm not a salary cap guru, but someone could draw that up. Draw that up, you're paying them. Think outside the box. The problem with the NFL, and I think, is 90% of the teams don't think outside the box. They keep doing the same thing over, and you're like, what do you mean, Tim? Go look at how many coaches been recycled in this league. Recycled. They keep doing the same thing over and over. Hey, we had a crappy season. Let's fire this guy. Why don't we have longevity? Why don't we have continued success? Because we jumped the gun too much. That Ryan Poles is like, I'm not doing that. I'm keeping these people in. I'm keeping Matt Eberflus. I'm not jumping the gun because we're going to have to start over. What if this guy's not better? We're at least improving. Also, I do believe that Eberflus knew his job was to lose in year one after week six. I do believe that they were not trying to win. I also do believe there's maybe a game or two where his personnel, if you go look at the Packers game, he had three guys from special teams playing on an offensive set with Fields a couple times. I do believe that Eberflus was set up to not maybe win every game he was supposed to, but not bluntly, but maybe, hey, try this or something. I don't know. Back to what the hell I was talking about with free agents. So then you got Brian Burns. Also, you have, and now I love the Miami Dolphins, right? I love the Miami Dolphins because they're being successful and they worked in the same kind of philosophy the Bears do, right? So Christian Wilkins, he came from, if you guys remember, he was in the mix for a Bears draft a few years ago. He came out of Clemson. He's an absolute dog. He's 28 years old. Word on the street for Christian Wilkins, based on his peers, his performance, he would be looking at 4 years, $80 million. You gotta figure that out. You gotta figure out how to pay him if he's one of your targets, because Brian Burns is looking at 5 years, $22 million, plus a bonus at $110 million. That's $30 million difference between the two players based on their performance, where their peers are. Brian Burns is more of a defensive end, where Christian Watson is a defensive tackle. And then another guy I think we should target is Xavier McHenry, and he's out of the Giants. So if you go look him up, Xavier, he was outstanding this year for the Giants in the secondary. He would literally take over Mr. Eddie Jackson's position, strong safety. He's going to be 24 years old. He's got experience in the NFL already. He was like the youngest player in his draft class. This dude's an absolute dog. Okay, Xavier McKinney. So McKenney. Do yourself, go on YouTube, Google highlights. Dude's a dog. He's looking at probably 12 to 14 million, another 5-year contract. Think outside the box, polls, pay these dudes, but why not? I mean, at the end of the day, does it matter? I know it's not conventional, but what if you get two or three of these guys, you back end it, or you front load one guy and you back end, so you even it, right? So you're not putting yourself in bad position 3 or 4 years from now, but your window's getting close. Poles has got to realize he's got a job for 3 or 4 years. He's probably got a job for the next 2 years because the front office for the Bears, they're trying to figure out where the hell they're building this next stadium. But the last two players that I would say, I'm going to give you three. Now you're also talking about, I know there's a lot of Marvin Harris talk and everything like that. It'd be great if the Bears are able to get him. We'll talk about the draft strategy in a second. But let's go back to three guys I would like the Bears to target, and I'll tell you why. DJ Moore, he's great, but DJ Moore is smaller in size. DJ Moore is I think a phenomenal number two on a Super Bowl winning team. That's my opinion. Okay. If he, DJ Moore, where would he be on San Francisco? He'd probably be a number two, maybe number three. He might be the number three, right? Because he's not running the clean routes like Brandon Ayuk. You can go look. Oh, to Tim, go look at the stats. No, I mean, there's one guy sharing the ball with five players that still put up 1,000 yards, and there's one guy sharing the ball with two. Cole Kmet and DJ Moore for the Bears, where the 49ers spread the ball around like it was a family pie. So, guys, I want the Bears to target free agent, unrestricted, Michael Pittman. Michael Pittman, possession beast, and has some underrated speed. He's a huge body. He's young, and you have to build young core, right? You reach out to him. Play with Fields. If Fields is successful this year, we're obviously going to sign him up to a bigger contract coming up. You keep a young core together. If Fields isn't it and he doesn't improve and he doesn't get any better, we're going to meet going to a younger quarterback regardless, I'd imagine in 2025. So set that person up for success. Regardless, it doesn't hurt you at all going after a guy that's like 26 years old than Michael Pittman. Michael Pittman plays for the Colts, ladies and gentlemen, an absolute dog. Gardner Minshew was throwing him the ball. He had Anthony Richardson, who wasn't a, pure pocket passer by any means, and dude put up numbers. Michael Pittman, he's unrestricted. Look at him. We have to get one of these four guys, I'm telling you. Then also, Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley, we had an up and down season from a performance standpoint on the Jacksonville Jaguars. But so did their quarterback play. Go look at Trevor Lawrence. That dude was banged up all year. He's an unrestricted free agent. I know he did a little bit gambling. He thinks he's good at parlays. He needs to keep the parlays, Timmy G. I'll make sure that we execute those or lose those. He was banned for the NFL for a year, if anyone wants to go back and check that. But he played all the games this year for the most part. And he performed well. And also, he is kind of rusty, right? I mean, when you're sitting out a year and a half, he was missing like most of the year for injury the year before he was suspended. And then he comes back. I thought he did well. He's only going to get better. He's young. He did. I think he was like, what, fifth in the league before in receiving or something as like a sophomore in the NFL. So look at Calvin Ridley. And then also, depending on what the Jacksonville Jaguars do, can you trade for a player? Can you trade for the other guy on the other side, Christian Kirk? This guy is underrated. Can you get him? Can we trade him? What is the, if they go out and sign Ridley, where's Jacksonville want to invest their money on the defensive side? Because Christian Kirk is under contract. He did miss a few games with a groin injury. Is he open for trade? I like him fitting. Also, I believe Brandon Ayuk is also going to be either on a 1-year contract or he's a free agent. We need to look at Brandon Ayuk, pure route runner. Knows how to play in the West Coast, underrated, up and comer in the sense of elite wide receivers in the NFL. Just got to be put in the right system because we have to get a number two that can complement or be better than DJ Moore. We need a bigger body. I know Christian Kirk isn't, but if we're going to also invest in the draft on a wide receiver, we want to have two veterans and a rookie. That's what I would like to do. I would like to get three weapons. I mean, you look at San Francisco, they got a tremendous amount of weapons, right? Well, how could they do this? Because they're John Lynch and the team are just putting people, drafting the right people, and then putting people that complement each other. The Bears need to start doing that philosophy. You don't need a perfect person. You need someone that's perfect at doing something, whatever that may be. Okay. So, a little recap, ladies and gentlemen. The Bears need to go after an offensive lineman, and I guarantee they need to go after a center, and I would do that in free agency. A defensive tackle or defensive end, which I told you, Brian Burns, Christian Wilkins are my favorite, and then a strong safety in Xavier McKinney. Michael Pittman, Calvin Ridley, Christian Kirk, Brandon Ayuk. Now, listen, I understand that, Tim, that's crazy. They're not getting all of them. Well, no shit, Sherlock. But the thing is, I want them to target whichever one of those players that they think is best fit and try to get at least two of them. We have to hit a home run in the offseason. We have to invest in this team with younger players. These are younger players. I'm not trying to go after Odell Beckham Jr. I'm investing in the youth so that we can get better and guys that have performed that deserve their money and pay them. And obviously, Jalen Johnson is part of that already. I didn't bring up Jalen Johnson. He's our corner that was dominant. They should have him signed, delivered before free agency. If they don't, Ryan Poles not doing his job. All right. So the draft strategy, ladies and gentlemen, the draft, what I think the Bears should do is if they, obviously I don't think they're going after a quarterback. They make it seem to the world that these quarterbacks are the greatest thing under the sun. And then also what they need to do is do the same blueprint they did last year. You need to get a starter. From whatever team wants to move up, you have to get a starter. Also, if Marvin Harris is the best player they rate as a wide receiver, you do not take him number one. I don't care if the dude's a Hall of Famer, you don't take him number one because you're going to miss out on trade assets that you could get by moving down to like a three or a four, whatever. So you're trying to. My ideal position is that the Bears try to move within the first three spots. One to three, they try to trade out. So either, I mean, obviously they have the number one pick, but they try to trade into two, three, or four. And I think Arizona has four, and they obviously need a wide receiver. So you ha I think that you do that if you want Marvin Harris, if that's what you want. That, or you do like last year, where you move down in the draft and you get multiple assets. Also, I'm not opposed to that someone calling the Bears that with our number nine tick and asking us for draft picks. Hey, you want to move down? I'm willing to give you our 17th pick in a second round and a third round or 2 second rounds. I don't know what teams have availability, but the more picks we can get in the first two and three rounds is ideal to me. I think there's a lot of value. We need more than one player. We need more than one player. Unless you're falling in love with the number nine player on your board, you're able to get that you see that he's ranked number third on your list and he falls to number nine. The Bears need to get as many players as they can that could be starters. Young youth movement, but guys that complement each other. I think we have a lot of veterans in the middle and the linebacker position for the Bears. Now we need to invest either in the defensive line. Let's get some young cats in there. Check out the trade market. Are there any guys that, could have, that weren't just getting enough playing time that they deserved? So that's what I would do. I would also call Philadelphia. They're an absolute nightmare on defense. They have a lot of talent, just never utilized correctly. Are they willing to, get rid of a couple of these guys? I know that sounds crazy, but what's their thoughts? Can you get at, can do the Eagles want to? I don't know. Are they willing to move away from? They have so much depth on the line. Maybe guys or agents aren't happy with the amount of playing time. You got to find out where the young, unhappy players are and try to get them on your roster. That's another way. Think of trade. But overall, I do believe here's my two predictions. Bears are obviously keeping Fields. I think they move, obviously, they're going to move down in the draft, get a starting caliber player along with multiple picks. And I do believe it's very important if they can, to get another pick next year. It gives you that security blanket to having two different options. Obviously, the Bears pick next year, right? And then also whatever team they trade with. So you're not going to get as lucky and get the number one pick for the third year in a row. But it sets you up. It sets you up for success in the sense of, it sets you up for success to have that security blanket if Justin Fields doesn't work out. Also, you move your trade. Can you get in the third round? Can you get a quarterback like JJ McCarthy that I think is going to slip, or Bo Nix that is going to slip, or who knows who's going to slip? Do we want to get a younger quarterback that's been successful in the college ranks in the third round? I don't know. I guess it sounds good in philosophy because you could have them sit behind Fields for 2 years and maybe develop, and they could turn into something. You never know. That could be. But also, I want to drop one bomb on you if you're still listening. I do not believe the Bears are going to Arlington. I believe that that asset is going to be flipped for just a moneymaker for the McCaskies. I think that they're going to, Mr. Warren, I'm forgetting his first name, but Warren is the, president of the Bears, right? And he helped build US Bank Stadium for the Minnesota Vikings. He had a contract or an agreement verbally that they were going to probably move to the suburbs and put that out there. Kind of the same concept of like doing it in Arlington, but maybe not as much land. But at the last minute, suburban contract couldn't get done because of either tax purposes, funding, things of that nature with the surrounding areas of that suburb. So he pulled it, built it downtown Minneapolis. And I think that he's going to, I think that same concept, he knows he can get more money and funding from the city of Chicago than he can the city of Arlington. I think he's going to get more sponsorships, I guess. Maybe from other partners wanting it to be in downtown Chicago. I do believe that the stadium right now is not set up for success. It's an outdoor stadium, horrible parking. Everything about the Bears' current stadium is trash. Obviously, they're moving forward, but where do they build that? That would be my concept downtown. Where are you building that? Arlington's perfect because you could build multiple things. You could do what the Bulls did, where you build the training facility right next to the stadium. You could literally build whatever you want. You can make that into a Chicago, like the McCaskies can make multiple different things with all that land. And the more people you could fit in a stadium, the more, it's right there. Arlington's only 20 minutes from any major airport. Makes it easy. You build an entire parking garage. Arlington would have been ideal, but it sounds like he's either playing very hard negotiations or he's going to do what he did in the past, what he's familiar with, what he's had success with, and just build in the city, which kind of sucks. I thought they were coming to Arlington. I'm not too far from that. That would have been cool just because of multiple reasons. Plus, the city of Chicago is just falling apart. And I think the city of Chicago officials know that. And, it's just their saving grace to get the city back up. I don't know. They got so much crime and they're so bad at managing money. I don't know. But I didn't get to the wild card games because we're already 38 minutes in. I just wanted to give you my full throw up on you on what I think the Bears should do. I think the Bears are definitely going to be a wild card playoff team next year if they keep the core of the team. Am I a Justin Fields lover, if you're asking yourself? I know I might have came said that. No, I think he's flawed. But I also think that he, surrounded by other people, we give him one more chance with this contract. $6 million. I don't believe that there's anyone in the draft that, like, how I look at it, ladies and gentlemen, is like, is Caleb Williams, Drake May, Bo Nix, anyone else better than Fields right now for the next 2 years? Because we have a small window. For the next 2 years with this defense, can we win a Super Bowl with any of them? And I don't believe the question's yes. They don't blow me away. So I'm not going to reset the clock again. I'm going to give Fields two more opportunities because we don't have to pay him for 2 years and go from there. That is the main thing I want to do is like, it's not about thinking Fields is not flawed or that he's good. I just think he's better than Caleb Williams in the next 2 years. I think he's better than any other draft pick for the next 2 years for the Chicago Bears. After that, or after this year, we run it back. We lose to the Packers twice. We don't make the playoffs. Everyone's getting fired. And I hope Jim Harbaugh is still at Michigan and that we offer him everything under the sun. I'm being serious. A guy that's had successful with multiple different organizations, college programs, and been a Chicago Bear, it just makes too much sense. It does. It just makes too much sense. Hardballs have football in their blood. Go look at him, the dad. Look at his brother John. Look at Jimmy himself. We want winners. That's the problem. We're so used to mediocre BS as Chicago Bears fans that we don't even know what's good. People are so, oh my God, people are getting in fights like it's politics over Justin Fields staying or going. Guys, it really doesn't matter. He's flawed. But we've also not set him up with the greatest success. Look at her. Look, you guys got me on a tangent now. You didn't even know you did. Look at Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts was set up for great success in the Eagles. When some things started going bad, when players started getting hurt, offensive linemen, wide receivers, tight ends, did you see his play drop? Of course you did, because he's a flawed quarterback in a phenomenal system. Everybody's flawed. But if you set him up for success and you set him up with the right weapons that they're good at, and you align their strengths with the strengths the team can bring, or you align guys that can help elevate their weaknesses, they're going to be successful. I know it sounds simple because it literally is coming off my tongue as a simple solution, but we haven't done it. And another thing, just to protect, people are going to be like, well, Caleb Williams is dead and people don't want him to play in Chicago. Would you want your son or daughter to play quarterback for the Bears? They've had 100 years in this league. They haven't had any success for an elite quarterback. Have they had winners? Yes. Elite throwing quarterbacks. They have not had that. Elite. Top 10, top five. No. We don't even have a guy I think that's even thrown over 4,000 yards ever. 4,000 yards. You know who threw for 4,000 yards? Sam Howell. Sam Howell played for the Washington Commanders. And no, I don't want to hear about Eric Bieniemy being the offensive coordinator for all you people that Eric Bieniemy, that the offense got actually worse in every category with him. Just FYI, he didn't get him any better. Plus, I mean, Casey let him go to give him another opportunity, supposedly, but no one hired him as a head coach because Andy Reid was calling the shots over there. But anyways, you guys enjoy the weekend. The upset of the weekend, I do believe, is my upset of the weekend is the Rams. I know that's the public bet right now, but I like the Rams, and I definitely like the Packers covering 7.5. Not seven, 7.5. Those are my two things. Now the Packers could get smacked, but also from a percentage standpoint, the Cowboys as a favorite and Dak as a favorite at home, they both have not covered, being a heavily favored team in the playoffs. But I hope you guys enjoyed this. It's 43 minutes of passion, 43 minutes of hyper focus, jumping through the lake, the ocean, the river with Timmy G about the Bears. We'll see what happens. At the end of the day, I think the future is getting brighter. We got the number one pick, the number ninth pick, a lot of money. If the Bears be the Bears, they'll mess this all up. We're hoping this is a new era. Hopefully there's change. Bear down.